The following content is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, enjoy articles to help you improve your green thumb. And now, here's NCRS volunteer Cindy Fowler.
And we'll start with Dave's Garden. This one is Growing Cyclamen by Jean Grunert. For cheerful indoor blooms this winter, try Florist Cyclamen, a beautiful blooming houseplant. Florist Cyclamen are rapidly becoming a favorite houseplant, both for wintertime blooms and Valentine's Day celebrations. Their heart-shaped leaves and rose, red, and white flowers seem like the perfect gift for lovers tired of roses, although who tires of roses? If you love houseplants and are looking for a long-lived plant that blooms in the dull of winter, cyclamen fits the bill. Growing cyclamen as houseplants. There are 20 species in the genus cyclamen, but many are hardy outdoor perennials. Cyclamen persicum are the ones you see lining the benches of garden centers starting in the late fall, blooming with pretty, cheerful, and unflagging determination throughout the winter months. According to the Clemson University Cooperative Extension site, florist cyclamen have been a favorite indoor plant since the early 17th century, when Western Europeans fell in love with this Mediterranean import. Since their introduction so many centuries ago, hybridizers have presented aficionados with new single, double, fringed, crested, and frilled flower forms. But the basic care instructions for all indoor cyclamen remain the same. Light requirements. Cyclamen prefer bright indirect light. A very bright east or west-facing window is best, or a southern exposure with a little bit of filter over the light, such as a curtain over the window, or the plant set a few feet from the window itself. Water. Cyclamen are fussy about their soil moisture, so you do need to pay attention to their water needs. The soil should be kept evenly moist, never drying out, but not so wet that water collects in the saucer under the pot. The fibrous tubers from which the plant grows are prone to rot, so water mature cyclamen plants near the rim of the pot, away from the tuber. Temperature. Cyclamen prefer daytime temperatures of approximately 60 to 65 degrees Fahrenheit, with evening temperatures slightly cooler. If temperatures consistently rise about 70 degrees, they may fail to develop buds or drop any existing buds. Because of these requirements, many homeowners find an east or west-facing bathroom window is an ideal place for cyclamen. The moist, humid air from steamy showers and baths seems to encourage strong growth. And the proximity to water faucets make it easy to keep the soil evenly moist. Kitchen windows can also be great places to enjoy your cyclamen. Encouraging cyclamen to bloom. It's smart to purchase cyclamen in bloom and with several newly formed buds. The existing blossoms provide definite identification of the plant's color, and the closed buds ensure a few more weeks of bloom before the plant enters dormancy. Cyclamen bloom for approximately 4 weeks and then remain dormant several weeks. This natural cycle mimics the cycle of wet and dry periods in the Mediterranean, where cyclamen flourish in the wild. Homeowners who are not used to the cyclamen's dormant period may panic when they see the plant's leaves begin to yellow, curl, and drop off. But this is all part of the plant's natural rejuvenation cycle. It's conserving energy to fuel the tuber for another year so it can put forth more beautiful blooms. Cyclamen can be tricky to get to bloom again, but a few simple practices should help. After the plant enters dormancy, place it in a shady spot for a few weeks. Keep the soil constantly moist, never allowing it to get too wet or too dry. After a few weeks of rest, move it back into the bright indirect light. Feed with a balanced liquid houseplant fertilizer such as 10-10-10 in a water solution once a week or every other week. With a little luck, you can coax your cyclamen into bloom again. Cyclamen are very hardy houseplants. Occasionally, you will find aphids, thrips, mealybugs, or spider mites have found your beloved cyclamen and have set up housekeeping. If this is the case, you can use insecticidal soap according to the package directions to clean your plant and remove the pest. It's a good idea whenever you bring home a new plant. Keep it isolated from the rest of your houseplants until you're sure it's pest-free. All it takes is a few pests transported into your home to infest your entire plant collection. Many insects need proximity to new hosts, however, so by isolating your new acquisitions in a separate room, you can keep pests from moving from an infected plant to an uninfected one. According to the ASPCA, cyclamen is poisonous to both cats and dogs. Compounds called terpenoid saponins cause symptoms of toxicity, such as vomiting, diarrhea, and salivation. Most pets get into trouble by eating the tubers, so keep the entire plant away from your pets at all times. In case of ingestion, contact your pet's veterinarian for instructions and advice. Cyclamen for all seasons. With their beautiful speckled foliage, attractive flowers, and multiple flower forms, cyclamen are a great addition to your indoor garden this year. Try cyclamen as a gift for someone you love, or add a few to your houseplant collection. With a little TLC, you'll have a flourishing cyclamen many years to come. For cheerful indoor blooms this winter, try Florist Cyclamen, a beautiful blooming houseplant. And now from HGTV's Gardens e-newsletter. What's Your Birth Month Flower? By Lynn Coulter. Like gemstones, flowers can represent birthdays in each month of the year. Which one is yours? January, carnation. Spicy scented carnations like cinnamon red hot are the birth flowers for January. Different colors convey different meanings. White carnations symbolize pure love, while yellow means wish you were here, and pink says you're unforgettable. Snowdrops, which indicate hope and beauty, are also flowers for this month. February, iris and violet. February birthdays are represented by violets or irises, flowers that suggest loyalty and faithfulness. The three upright petals of an iris bloom can indicate courage, faith and wisdom, or friendship, hope, and compliments. Clarence is a tall, bearded iris with pale blue standards and violet blue falls. March, daffodil. Daffodils like love call, sometimes called jonquils or narcissus, are the birth flowers for March. Because they often bloom in early spring, they symbolize new birth, beginnings, happiness, and joy. April, daisy and sweet pea. cheerful daisies, like Leucanthemum darling, represent April birthdays. While they often symbolize beauty, innocence, love, or purity, they can also mean, I'll never tell. Sweet peas are also birth flowers for April. May, Lily of the Valley. Lilies of the Valley, with their sweet perfumes, celebrate May birthdays. They suggest humility and happiness. June, Rose. Like carnations, roses, which represent June birthdays, have different meanings for different colors. Red roses signify love, while yellow ones indicate anything from jealousy to friendship. Orange or apricot roses, like Lady of Shalott, mean desire and enthusiasm. July, larkspur and water lily. While pink larkspurs can symbolize a fickle love, purple ones mean first love, and white indicates a happy spirit. These pretty flowers are linked to July birthdays. Water lilies, which stand for a pure and open heart, or majesty, also represent this month. August, glads. Remember me is the message of gladioli, birth flowers for August. The flowers can also mean strength and integrity, while the sword-shaped leaves suggest love-pierced hearts. In ancient times, glads were associated with magical powers. September, aster. Fall-blooming asters symbolize a strong and powerful love and are the birth flowers for September. They also indicate faith and wisdom. October, marigold. Marigolds, in their rich autumnal colors, symbolize undying love and represent October birthdays. These pungent-smelling flowers can also mean, I'm thinking of you, or indicate sadness and sympathy. November, mum. Chrysanthemums, plants especially prized by Japanese gardeners, stand for November birthdays. White mums signify innocence and purity, while yellow ones indicate that a loved one feels slighted. December, narcissus, holly, poinsettia. Several plants represent December birthdays, including narcissus, think forced bulbs, hollies and poinsettias. Hollies show a desire for a happy home, while poinsettias stand for good cheer. Narcissus, like February gold, signify modesty and faithfulness. And from the National Gardening Association e-newsletter, Preventing Garden Diseases by Suzanne DeJohn. Most garden diseases are caused by fungi. Microscopic relatives of the common garden mushroom, mature fungi release millions of spores that are carried on the wind or otherwise get transferred to our plants. And if the conditions suit them, the spores germinate and penetrate leaf tissue, creating spots, lesions, or other symptoms. Most fungi need moisture to germinate, so damp leaves are an open invitation. Some diseases are soil-borne and transported to foliage when raindrops splash soil onto plants. Preventing infection is the best way to control fungal diseases. Tools and materials. Disease-resistant varieties. Drip irrigation or soaker hoses. Mulch. Pruners. Rubbing alcohol. 1. Choose resistant varieties. Plant breeders have created varieties with built-in resistance to certain diseases. For example, look for tomato varieties with V, F, or T after the names. These indicate resistance to verticillium, fusarium, and tobacco mosaic diseases. 2. Space plants properly. Adequate spacing allows good air circulation, which helps keep foliage dry. 3. Water the soil, not the foliage. Drip irrigation and soaker hoses are better than overhead sprinklers. 4. Apply mulch. Soil-borne diseases can be thwarted with a layer of mulch, which prevents soil from splashing onto leaves. 5. Rotate crops. Plants in the same family are often attacked by the same diseases, so rotate annual crops. For example, avoid planting solanaceous plants, including tomato, pepper, potato, and eggplant, in the same garden bed year after year. Rather, rotate with plants in a different family, such as cucurbits, squash, cucumber, pumpkin. 6. Remove and destroy diseased plant tissue. If only a few leaves are affected, prune them off and discard. Do not compost. Composting may not kill disease organisms. Sterilize pruning shears with rubbing alcohol between cuts. And 7. Do not over-fertilize. Plants pumped full of fast-acting nutrients, especially nitrogen, grow quickly, but this succulent growth is very attractive to disease organisms. Aim for slow, steady growth by providing slow-release nutrients. Tip: fungi aren't the only disease-causing microorganisms. Some diseases, such as fire blight, are caused by bacteria. Others, such as tobacco mosaic, are caused by viruses. Bacterial and viral diseases are difficult, if not impossible, to control in the home garden. Sometimes environmental conditions cause symptoms similar to disease infection, so rule these out first. Consider the plant, time of year, and degree of damage before resorting to pesticide sprays. A small amount of damage at the end of the season may be tolerable, while the same damage in early summer may warrant control. Diseases can spread quickly if not contained, so observe plants frequently. Most plant diseases are host-specific. For example, powdery mildew species that attacks fall phlox is different than the one that attacks cucumbers. And from the Triangle Garden website, there are some events. Wine and Whimsy, November the 14th, 6 p.m. This painting class is a perfect date night or girls' night out. Canvas, paint, brushes, palette, easel, and instruction provided. At the end of class, you'll be amazed by your inner artist and the artwork you created. Wine, beer, and snacks are available for purchase to enjoy while painting. There is a fee. This happens at the Cape Fear Botanical Garden in Fayetteville. Lunchbox Talk, Emerging Issues in Conservation, November the 15th, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. What do Venus flytraps and red wolves have in common? Are any places in North Carolina wild enough for these carnivorous creatures? If these elements of our natural heritage are to have a future in North Carolina, they'll need a functioning ecosystem and a whole lot of help from their friends. We'll explore why these species are rare, why traditional land conservation practices won't save them, and discuss how North Carolina might find new solutions to old conservation problems. Come prepared to share your ideas and discuss pros and cons of proposed alternatives. It's free, but there is a pre-registration required. It's going to happen at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. Call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522 for more information. Moonlight in the Garden, November the 15th through the 17th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Moonlight in the Garden returns with more lights, more nights. Food trucks, live music, hot cider, marshmallows, and fire pits. They're all back. Don't miss the only opportunity to experience the J.C. Ralston Arboretum after dark. We'll open our gates each evening for you, your family, and friends to explore this nighttime wonder. Custom designed and installed by John Garner and his team at Southern Lights of Raleigh. Moonlight in the Garden is meticulously designed to showcase our internationally acclaimed garden and all its splendor. You think our collection is spectacular by day? Wait until you see it under the cover of darkness, artfully lit on a crisp November evening. It's a magical experience you do not want to miss. There's a fee, and you need to pre-register. That happens at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. Call 919-515-3132 for more information. 919-515-3132. And then Colossal Collard Day, November the 16th. Stop by to enjoy fresh North Carolina collards with all the fixings at the State Farmers Market in Raleigh. And there's a poinsettia open house November the 17th, all day. The official opening of our holiday greenhouses. Over 25,000 homewood grown poinsettias. Live music plus free refreshments. And that's going to happen at the Homewood Nursery in Raleigh. A tisket, a tasket, make your own basket, November the 17th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Learn to create a basket with basket weaver Lou Howard's Gardens. Everyone will work on a 5x10x4.5 rectangular basket with a diamond pattern of dyed reed embellishment along the sides. At the end of the day, you will have a basket to take home and enjoy. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This will happen at the Sarah P. Duke Gardens in Durham. Call 919-668-1707. 919-668-1707 for more information. Gardening for Biodiversity, November the 17th from 2 to 4 p.m. This workshop will help gardeners plan and maintain landscapes that promote life of all kinds. We'll spend time on garden plants that provide necessary resources for pollinators and other wildlife. We'll talk about maintenance techniques to keep your garden in good shape while preserving and enhancing the habitat. We'll spend time in the garden learning how to build a wattle fence from last year's perennial stems. There's a fee, and pre-registration is required. This happens at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. Call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522 for more information. And a nature walk. The fall colors at Horton Grove Nature Preserve, November the 18th. 1:30 p.m. until 4:30 p.m. Join us for a late autumn walk at Horton Grove Nature Preserve. We will explore the autumn flora of the meadow, then walk on woodland trails to enjoy the colors of red maple, hickory, and beech. Wear comfortable walking shoes. Children are welcome, but please leave pets at home. It's free, but pre-registration is required. This will happen at the North Carolina Botanical Garden in Chapel Hill. For more information, call 919-962-0522. 919-962-0522. And Winter Garden Interests, November the 20th at 7:30 p.m. Gardeners of Wake County Meeting, refreshments at 7 p.m. And this will happen at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh. and a wreath-making workshop, November the 28th, 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Make a festive, natural wreath using plants from the garden. Materials and tools provided. This workshop is for teens and adults. There is a fee, and you need to pre-register. This happens at the Cape Fear Botanical Garden in Fayetteville. And from the Henson Things website, the Garden Index. Save wooden ice cream spatulas, lolly sticks, or plastic knives to use as garden labels. Write on them with a ballpoint pen or a waterproof marker. And an old hot water bottle filled sparingly with foam rubber chips is a handy kneeling pad for long gardening jobs. And if tender buds or shoots become frozen, thaw them out slowly by spraying with cold water before the sun shines, otherwise they may get scorched. To avoid tender plants getting damaged by frost, listen to the weather forecast and protect delicate plants with newspaper or old clothes. And to prevent snow damaging small conifers, when it is forecast, tie the branches to the trunk with string. However, do not leave them tied for more than a day or two. And as long as you don't mind how they look, old car tires make good temporary cold frames for new seedlings. Sow the seeds inside the tire and place a piece of glass or clear plastic on top. The rubber absorbs the heat during the day and releases it overnight. If you find handles of tools, mowers, and shears uncomfortable to hold, try buying a foam bicycle handlebar grip. Slip the grips over the tool handles using washing up liquid or Vaseline if it proves difficult. If the handle in question is continuous, try slitting the grip horizontally to allow it to be slipped over the handle. Pipe insulating foam may also work. Before filling a strawberry barrel with compost, stand a piece of drain pipe or cardboard tube upright in the center and fill with pebbles. As you fill with compost, gradually remove the tube, releasing the pebbles. This will act as a central drainage system, preventing the soil from becoming waterlogged. Hanging baskets need watering twice a day. To make this easier, consider attaching them to a pulley system available from garden centers. Water hanging baskets by putting ice cubes in the top. Moisture is slowly released as the ice cubes melt. Ensure these don't touch the plants, as this may cause damage.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Out in the Garden on the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.